Richard Burton did it on Broadway in 1964. It was directed by Sir John Gielgud.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
In 1948, Sir Laurence Olivier directed himself in the part for a major motion picture, as they say, with a big musical buildup, speaking the lines from a high rocky perch with the crashing sea below.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Michael Sheen did a more minimalist reading in the BBC radio version of 1999.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Kenneth Branagh whispered it to himself in front of a large mirror.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
Ethan Hawke did it for the movies in very modern dress.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
And Richard Chamberlain, famous in the 60s as television's weekly heartthrob, Dr. Kildare, did his Hallmark Hall of Fame TV version in 1970 as if his career depended on it, which it probably did.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
By the way, Olivier, with all the dramatics and having cut a couple of hours out of the play, still wasn't sure people would get it. His film stirred controversy by opening with a Cliff Notes-style explanation.
This is the tragedy of a man who could not make up his mind.
I'll say, that is certainly one way to characterize the most famous play in the English language, containing the most famous soliloquy in the English language.
I remember when I did it.
Mark Lemos, artistic director of the Westport Country Playhouse, has played the role and directed the play a couple of times.
I walked on stage, and of course there's silence, and I said, to be or not to be, and I heard a man whisper to his date, I know this part. And I thought, you know, that's great. I like the fact that we were in the know together. And I always felt, every time I played it, and I played lots and lots of performances, that I've never felt such stillness from an audience.
When the actress Diane Venora was working in Midsummer Night's Dream many years ago, she was approached by the very famous creator and director of the New York Shakespeare Festival.
He came up to me and said, my name is Joseph Papp. I'm thinking of doing a play called Hamlet. And because I assume nothing, I said, well, who wrote it? And he paused and said, Shakespeare. And I said, oh. I said, Ophelia? He said, no, Hamlet.
Venora became one of the few women who've played the man's role, going back to Sarah Bernhardt, Sarah Siddons, and Asta Nielsen. How did she do it?
I covered up all my mirrors in the dressing room with just pieces of paper and a couple of articles, and I never looked at myself again. And then I went on the inside.
And you join this great river of great actors and not-so-great actors when you play it.
How does any actor do it, given the weight of history and expectations, familiarity and precedent? One way is to just give into it.
I listened to a lot of different actors doing the play before I took it on. I loved listening to Schofield and Gielgud, and of course I played the Olivier film, and never felt for a moment that I was going to imitate any of them. You need a certain, you know, you need a big ego to do Hamlet. It's always helpful.
What about 9 big egos, each with his own approach? Beginning with Herbert Beerbohm Tree, recorded in 1906.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by opposing end them.
Mel Gibson.
To die. To sleep. No more. And by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to. 'Tis a consummation devoutly to be.
Sir John Gielgud.
To die, to sleep. To sleep, perchance to dream. Aye, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come, when we have shuffled off this mortal coil, must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life.
Kevin Kline.
For who would bear the whips and scorns of time? The oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely.
Anton Lesser.
The pangs of despised love, the awe's delay, the insolence of office and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare bodkin.
Paul Schofield.
Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country, from whose bourne no traveller returns, puzzles the will?
Derek Jacobi.
And makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all.
Campbell Scott.
And thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied o'er with the pale cast of thought, and enterprises of great pitch and moment with this regard their currents turn awry and lose the name of action.
Richard Burton.
Fortuna. Fair Ophelia. Nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
One speech, nine voices. Which one is best? I can't make up my mind. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.